Spirit of the Law, Parshas Tovah, What if someone's in the middle of Shema? He's called up to the Torah. What does he do? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Here it is.
I tap on my sitter.
Mind you call it to the Sefer Torah. What then? What do you do? Even if they called you
by name,
come up so and so, son of so and so. You may not ascend unless you know that you're going to be able to finish Shema as you go up. And if it's in the brachos of Kriyas Shema and they call you in your name, he said, I hold that you're allowed to go up. There are many different questions. It's like a double doubt. Sfek Sfeka. We can be lenient in. So that he permits. That's the Beis Chai's take. Shema he's talking about. Finding it now, but Shema. So I think that he's talking about the first verse of Shema. I think that from the Shabbos perspective, at the very least, even if you're in the middle of Shema, now again, like you said, there are other opinions and there are different ways of looking at it. It depends how much you're going to get in your way. But I think the Mishabura holds. Yeah. Mishabura says, I remember that the Pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem, those you cannot go up. But the rest of Shema, you can go up and call you by name. That's how the Shabbos goes. Again, the Beis Chai and the Mechaber disagrees. The Mechaber says, the Shulchan Aruch says, a Kohen, which is the most prevalent case. Usually people have a little more tact that the Kol of Israel who's davening. Why would you do that? A Kohen, because you're the only Kohen. Whatever. He says, this is a little more usual. The Kohen saying Shema, they call him up. You're the only Kohen, come on up. He said, some people say that he should interrupt, and others say he shouldn't. The halacha is like the one who says he shouldn't. That's pretty clear. I mean, that's the Lashon Shulchan Aruch. The Mishabura says that in Ashkenazic circles, the custom is like the first opinion, except for the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael and Baruch Shem Kibbutz. So there are two different ways of looking at it. Rav Yosef points out that the problem with the Gemara, that a person who's called to the Torah doesn't go, his days are limited. He said, by us, the Sephardim, it's much better, because the Chidasa is only to call your name. If they make a remiss to come, you don't come. It's only if it's called by name. That's why we, the Sephardim, he says, do not call by name. We only call it, come, but we don't say names. That's what he says, that's better. But again, if a person's davening, you can rely on the Mechaber doesn't make any differentiation. Whatever it is, you can do whatever you need to do. Also, if it's going to mess up your Kavanah, it could also be that you don't have to, could be even higher thing. He said, also between God, Yisrael, and Shmoneh Esrei, you don't go up, no matter what. Or in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, you don't go up. They can call you, they can say your name, they can beg you, they don't have another coin, tough luck. I'm finished. When I say, then I'll go up. I'm not going to wait any longer. He said, if they call you up, don't call with the chazan. You don't read with the chazan. Don't say, Mishaberach. You're not allowed to speak now. You're in the middle of the Kriyas Shema. Have a little respect. You can't. If even if you're allowed to go up, you have to be careful what you do. But you have to know where you're holding and what your way of psak is. But it seems to be very clear. Sephardi Pesach, there's a big Shema, you may not go up. The Brachos of Shema, it's not so clear. But there's a difference. The Beis Chai says the Brachos of Shema, you don't go up. It seems like others would disagree, not so clear. Again, it's only I'm in the middle of the Brachos of Shema. I'm denigrating the Torah. I'm saying, I'm speaking to God now. I can't go up because it's going to get interrupted. That's one opinion. There's another opinion that says no. The other opinion says no, you can't do it that way. You have to do it in the manner which is proper, in the manner which you have to go up, if you're able to interrupt. If you interrupt, if someone would say hello to you, who's more honorable than you are, and you're obligated to honor them, or you fear them, versus at a higher level. So if you're ready, let interrupt them to go up for the Torah. That's the two ways of looking at it. Is it a blemish for the Torah, or is it a blemish for the Torah? That's the question. Okay, so that's the Sefer Halacha. We've spoken about this, so it's interesting to see that there's different opinions. Okay, so the first thing to consider here in terms of Siddus, taking a person going up to the Torah is one of the highest things you possibly can do. It's brought down in this forum that it's worthwhile. The Beis Chai, I think, brings it himself. At least once a month you should go up to the Torah. If possible, you should get an aliyah once a month. You shouldn't let it go more than that. You get an aliyah if possible. Today they'd make it very easy. You pay a few shekels and you're no problem whatsoever. You know, if it's very crowded, you pay 10 shekels, you pay 15 shekels, it's not that bad. And if the bidding goes too high in your minion, you just go to the next minion. You get the regular. Someone has your side, you deal with it, you find a way. So it's a very, very big thing. It helps the neshama. It's uplifting and illuminating to go up to the Torah, number one. Now, in terms of Shema, that's the same exact question. Shema is being totally one with Hashem. If we do it right, it would seem like you shouldn't even hear. How do you hear somebody doing Shema? How do you even hear it? Because it's like supposed to be, Rav Gifter would say, how do you remember Yalav Yavu, which was Chodesh? You're supposed to be so filled with bliss, you should forget. He said, we don't forget because so my Shemeneshi is not 100%, so I can remember Tosh Chodesh, no problem. I remember this, I remember that. You know, some people remember the baseball scores. It's all sorts of, there's lots of different things going on. Person, you know, you have to try to remember Hashem during this Shemeneshi. And certainly do the davening and the Birch Krishma as well. We're in a very high place. So the question is, does it get in the way or not? Can I do this without making an error and without disconnecting, or can't I? Some people, maybe they can go up to the Torah, it's not disconnected at all. Go to the Torah. It's uplifting me, it's picking me up, so I'll go back, I'll be right back where I was. I'll just say no. Maybe it's denigrating the Torah, maybe it's not denigrating the Torah, it depends where you're holding and which, or what your shorish neshama, where your source of your neshama is. Different mahalachim. This Friday mahalach is generally more chesed, this is brought down, the chidah says, so since it's more chesed, so say you don't go up. Worried about a din, say just don't call him by his name, we're not so worried. Ashkenazim are a little more worried about din, so they go up, unless it's Shema Baruch Shem or Shema Esrei or Gal Yisrael, between Gal Yisrael and Shema Esrei. Those are two Malachim on a simple level. That's a hard question to answer. It's very sad that supposedly, so I hear, I didn't check this, but I was not happy to hear even a rumor that there are supposedly Torahs in the Kotel, which were given to multiple places that are not 100%. So it's like it becomes very complicated. The Chazon Ish, in Sanz, they had a Torah that was for sure kosher, except that in his opinion, they had a certain way of writing it, he held was no good. And when he came to the meeting, they tried to call him up, and he did everything he could. Right when he became Shlishi, he suddenly disappeared. He was saying it's fine. Before Shlishi, he vanished, and then he came back after Shlishi. He'll do Hagbo, he'll do Glila, anything. I'm not making a bracha on the Sefer Torah, which I hold is in kosher. Like, that was just like, I'll hear the lady, but I'm not gonna, you know, I have a problem. So it became very complicated. He, like, had to slip out, he slipped in, he did all sorts of. Maybe that's why the Chazon Ish, when he was in Tzfat, he heard about the Ritbaz. It's the Ritbaz, probably. But Dovin. I don't remember. It's on Yushami. I think it's Ritbaz. He wrote a piece on Yushami. He's the later authority. The Ritbaz, if I remember right, is the earlier. He was one of the Rishonim. And the Ritbaz is the later. And he wrote a beautiful explanation on Yushami. Very powerful. And he was huge, huge Lamdan. So, one time, when the Chazon Ish was in Tzfat, he asked someone, tell me something from the Ritbaz. The older man, you remember the Ritbaz. What was he like? Tell me a story. Tell me something you remember. something memorable about him. He said, I'll tell you. One time he came a little late to give a drasha. He said, and there was a gigantic crowd. And of course, he's the rabbi of the whole city. He's a very great authority. When he walks in, everyone's going to stand up for him. He's the man of the city. So, I mean, we were waiting for him. And suddenly you see there's a little window, like, sort of down in the ground, near the ground, in the front. And he was already an older man. He, like, sort of crouched in, jumped in, came up, ran to the podium so people shouldn't stand for him. And the Chazanish laughed, and he was the whole day very happy with that. Wow, what a story. So maybe part of that is that the Chazanish also sort of had to slip out. Every time you find a way to slip out by Shlishi, we keep trying to get middle in. He keeps sort of somehow finding a way to get, like, who knows where he went or what he did, to just, like get out of it. Son, I'm just a thought. I have no idea. That's amazing. He's an amazing person. He's really thinking about other people to such an extent. He doesn't want to trouble them. Very, very great.
So you have a problem?
We have a problem. We have a big problem. I don't know. I wish I had a better answer for you. I don't have a better answer for you.
For me, I would know if the Torah was possible or not. I would have no idea. I'm just curious. It would not be obvious to me. It might be.
You could assume it's kosher. It's kind of chazakah. Presumably it's kosher. So that's something good. I go up on tzans, like, I don't have a problem. The Chazanish had a shita, an opinion where he felt it wasn't good. There's something he can do that he didn't like. But, I don't know, or at least that Torah school van, however long ago it was. But, at the Kotel, I'm less enthusiastic. Although I have to admit, when my son said I wanted a mitzvah at the Kotel, I said, okay. I didn't say, well, it's a kutana. Hopefully it's okay. So what am I supposed to do? You should not have, no, you can't have the Kotel because maybe there's some sipitola that aren't.
Well,
maybe aren't.
They're protected. You know, they're not allowed outside.
Uh-huh.
That enclosed tunnel, if there's any chance of rain.
For sure, but the question is if they started kosher. That's my problem. Did they start kosher?
Aren't
now,
they
if you had
routinely checked.
Yes, but if you had, usually the custom is, this happened actually with the Tribuna Road. They came in, it came time to the writing Sefer Torah for the yeshiva, and there were a lot of donors from all over. And these people had a wonderful feeling for Torah, they were very enthusiastic, and they weren't necessarily religious. So, you know, listen, they come in, there's a ceremony where you fill in the letters. So Shabbat Rav, like, he realized that some of the people aren't Shomer Shabbos, and if they fill in the letter, the idea is they're finishing the letter, each one is as if he wrote the whole Sefer Torah. And if even one of them is not Shomer Shabbos, or not this, he's a wonderful Jew, he's a great guy, how the Bible have a secret in, but the code of the Sefer Torah is not kosher. That's just the way it is. He said, especially if it comes from a religious household, but even if he doesn't, it really gets complicated.
Is that really the way it is?
It's a problem. It's a big problem. Maybe it's a Shemish, but it's a very...
You know, I've seen people finish, you know, and put a letter in, you know, people buy that.
Sometimes the sofer does it in a way that even when you fill it in, it's still a letter before you fill it in. So if it's enough of a letter before you fill it in, it's just missing a little bit, but it looks enough of a letter. So even if you fill it in, it was already a letter before you filled it in, it'll stay a letter after you filled it in, but you didn't make the Torah. So the Shabbat Rav said, the custom where I'm from is for the sofer. Each person gives the sofer the pen, and he fills it in for him, because he's the expert who knows how to do the writing and do it right. You don't want to get confused. It could be a Shem Hashem, it could be lots of things, whatever, that's what he said, everyone accepted it in good temperament, and it was fine. But it's very complicated. If you really fill in the letters, again, some one way, some maybe he doesn't know better, it gets very hard to, like, distinguish. And you know what, so if I have a Torah like that, I'm in big trouble. And if I have a Torah given from who knows where, what it went through, who knows who wrote it, it's also a problem. I mean, I don't know. The person said he knew that there were some Torahs that aren't good. Again, is he right? Does he really know? Can I even find out now? I don't even know if I can find out now. Do I have to believe him? I thought, like, I did do. There are opinions that you can, especially if most of them are kosher, and you're not certain which ones are which, so then you can maybe make a bracha. It's not a fun, I hope it's not a fact. It's not. If it's true, it's not a fun thing to know about. I would prefer not to know that.
Temples that don't have their Torahs, observatories checked on a regular basis.
Oh, why they started out with something that was real.
Yeah, and they're just not checked.
Do they use the Sefer Torah in the Reforming Conservative Shuls these days?
I know a guy in prison right now.
Right.
He didn't do the right thing.
Oh, where?
He's sold the product. There's lots of places that he's sold the product to. It's not what he said it was. It's not, you know, people have to fill it out. They have to call other guys in. Just get them over.
They're using photocopying mezuzahs.
Yep.
So this guy is in Maryland. So he's a prisoner.
Wow.
And I met him. I mean, he was such an engaging speaker.
I'm sure he was great.
Public speaker's incredible. And then when he did this, he just crushed a lot of people.
Never. This is the way it always is. Yeah. Never.
These people put their faith in him and his stories. Yeah.
Hard to fix, it's easy to break. There are nothing that anyone could break. The Chachma is to fix. How do you fix? How do you rectify? Breaking? No problem. Just get some criminal or some. Anybody? No problem.
What I really felt bad was, because he was a Reform guy, and he was selling Sefer Torah to Reform temples. He was a specialist in that. The kosher, they had the Sefer Torah. You know.
Never.
Problem with the book. I was in Iraq many years ago. I was working with other people who sold us a lot of results within. I do repairs on the repair stuff. It's a lot of things in the world. And two things that would be interesting. Somebody bought tefillin to be checked. They had all kinds of problems they got to eat. Open them up, and the point on the top of the lamed and on the yudim all had a little cross on them.
Right.
And where did you get it? And find it to investigate. Turns out they bought it at a shop that was supreme revisionaries.
Yeah, this is exactly.
And then there was another somebody came to us with a socher, a wholesaler. And usually when you get his result, they're already in the little squares. He gave the whole sign, right? All written. Very nice his result. Really beautiful, but to the whole side. How do you wangle the whole side and let everyone know? And the guy who owned the shop got a little suspicious. You have any more like these? Yeah, I got a trunk full. Bring a couple more. And we looked each, like let's say the left shoulder on each hide, exact same as himself, one after the other. Well, that, well, suddenly they had a print machine that would print on the parchment with an ink that would give a raised thing.
They have screens. They have a screen that has it all written. Oh, take the ink, paintbrush.
Silk screening.
Yep. Takes 2 minutes, no problem. Not kosher. Your shop, open your shop. No, no, clear your shop. How do I do it? They're right. Not me. Problem. What do I do now? It's a problem. It's a serious thing. We've got a mezuzah. People have mezuzahs. So I went to one of the experts. He also. He said, let me see. He said, no, there are differences. There's particularities in each one. It's not Muslim. Yeah. You have to know that.
Yeah, you have to know
is there any difference? It's the same guy, but it can't be exact. I'll check. Everything exact same? Is it a screen?
Then, there's another one, was, I don't remember how he called them, but was somebody at the club, and then, written in the name, well, beautiful, beautiful written, you could say they were handwritten, there was no problem, beautifully written, but something didn't taste right, turns out they were written by, and you say, it's in great, it's written in the name, well, something in the name, well, you find it, where, the house is the edge of Brady Rock. At any minute, it's not all religious. Mixed. They don't even know who all is living there. Get there, tuk-tuk. A whole line of architect's tables with girls, a young woman writing this as well.
Great.
Calligraphers.
Not if they don't have, first of all, not if they don't have in mind. Number one, for sure not. And second of all, it gets very complicated. It's a big, big, big dispute. About when can a woman do or not. I think even Megillas Esther is not clear that she can write. Mezuzahs could be, as far as I remember, mezuzahs is the same as Sefer Torah and Tefillin, where if you don't have an obligation to put on Tefillin, you can't write for Tefillin, and I think mezuzahs and Sefer Torah is the same. That's kind of
correct. Neither.
Megillas Esther is a big question. Because the Rekib Eger says definitely not, and the Sefer Megillas Esther says definitely yes.
And she needs out from Yiddish.
Maybe, but actually, yeah. As far as I remember, it's a baya. Mezuzah is. I don't know if they tell me that. But I think it's a baya.
He dies on another touches
Tzipa Tumah. Really?
Yeah.
I'm not aware of that.
No, I don't
think
that's
not true. It says Tzipa Tumah is not Mekabel Tumah. Right, but Tzipa Tumah. But other Tzipa Tumah, not Tzipa Tumah. It's not true. The Mishnah says that Tzipa Tumah is not Mekabel Tumah. No, that's not true.
Also,
Tefillin's a baya if she's
sure
wearing it.
Also, the Kubbalim say, let's say, when the Sefer Torah is held up, why do they hold it up? Not just to see it. The spiritual light comes through the letters to the Tahar.
If there's a movement in
the Sefer Torah and other people, it blocks the spiritual light from getting
through. How would she be in between?
Depends on the Gerah. Right? Let's say she's the front row woman, the other woman don't get it. If there's men, they don't get it either.
It says in Bechina that it's not great for her to see it.
Woman's here can go to
see it. That's somewhere else. Let's see. But as far as I remember, the dispute is only your sister, not Tzipa Torah Tzipa Torah Tzipa. So anyway, it's no good.
Under no circumstances can a woman write a kosher Sefer Torah?
As far as I remember, no. Unless I'm making a mistake, I don't think so. I think that.
Also, mezuzah.
Mezuzah, as far as I remember, also no. Megill Sester is a question.
Tefillin also no.
No way. Tefillin for sure not, because she's not obligated.
See, that's what this rabbi remembers, saying all these things. You know? Some real cute things that he passed on to
him. I bet. That's probably why he felt so good about it, because he was giving it to Reform Conservative. Anyway, what are they doing? It's a big problem. Commission present oneself.
When they get a Sefer Torah written for them, they usually get somebody who's kosher, really kosher, right?
Good.
That's good. Sometimes it comes from Israel.
Good. Let's hope that's true. I think it's in there. I don't know what it's in.
Our rabbi always insisted, when you come to Israel, you need the
Jewish. Check it out.
It's a good way to get a trip to Israel.
It's clear Tefillin. I think Sefer Torah and Mezuzah are really going to do the same thing.
Oh, boy.
What I remember when I studied Sapphurus, it was women can't write. They definitely can't write those three things.
Again, the Megillah Esther is a question.
Yeah.
Megillah Esther is a shah, is a machlokes.
And even to a minion of men that can't read, then she's better to read if she's the only one that can.
Well, trust that. I don't know if anyone would argue. What are we supposed to do?
I think
anyone would argue.
Interesting how fast it is
interesting. It is interesting. If they can read. Think.
I have a dumb question for you. Can a Orthodox congregation be within a Reformed temple building when everyone else around me is immodestly dressed.
I understand. What are they doing?
They're renting out like the auditorium.
The people in there?
Yeah. They're having regular services.
Wait a minute. I understand. I have an auditorium. I'm davening an Orthodox minion.
Right.
There's someone else besides my minion here?
Right.
While I'm davening?
Right. Outside the
conference. Not in the same room.
No, not in the same room.
So that's not a problem. As long as it's not for sure, it's not a problem. Many people do that, actually. It might not be the greatest idea according to some authorities, but you can. But that's your best option. Okay? I know of many people, my father was involved in this, the Utopian Jewish Center, I think it was. They were a conservative congregation that was sort of dying. So the Orthodox opened in one chapel, and then they got their own little place to daven. They davened and they knew a place, and then it became Orthodox in which there just was no one else left. And they fought it. They used a lot of the shul's money to fight any possibility, even though most people are Orthodox, but still don't want to be Orthodox. They fought in part, but they lost.
Like the University of Pennsylvania, the Hillel House in the University of Pennsylvania. It was a multi-story building. Different rooms were being used for minyanim, different groups. There was an Orthodox group, there was a liberal group, all different groups.
That happens a lot in University of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
They have three minyanim in their office.
No choice. If they have a halutz minyan, that's pretty good, one way or the other way. I don't care. At least there's something. Also, I guess we'll just continue. That's my recollection. Actually, yeah, that's serious problem. These screens and these playing around, it's like a big problem. No good answers. We just hope you use a good sofer who's not going to play games, because you can't do much. There was one sofer who was playing games, actually. He was Madame Michal Shabbos evening. He lost it for a while. He wasn't keeping Shabbos, whatever it was. He went to the Yashiv. He said, Betshuva, he feels terrible. He gave all his tefillin during that time. And he said, maybe this is only his tefillin, whatever. Is there any way of koshering or doing? He said, you have to go to every single one of them and tell them what happened, give them a refund, and track them all down. And there's no way to just, it's okay, it's not okay. And if there's no way to, you can't just, it doesn't go away. You need the real thing.
He's
got a problem, yeah. A and B, the guy doesn't have tefillin. How could it be? No tefillin because of me. This is A.
The attitude of the writer on the makes it affect people. We had people coming to us with all kinds of problems with the Mrs. Zod. They don't know why they have the new Mrs. Zod and things are going wrong in the house. And we don't time we send them to a lot of bento. We got reports back what people were saying. Says, look at Mrs. I hear Golden Party. How can we say it's like you see Golden Party looking at Mrs. Up? Go find the Sofail. The other neighbor has dogs barking all the time, bothering trying to concentrate on the Mrs. Up. Bark. And the fact that the dog was barking the bottom was writing the Zod imprinted. The spirituality said, oh, dogs barking into the Mrs. Up. And maybe talk with the people who are using them. Another one, Bello said, I'm looking at letters and I see boots. Boots, not letters. They with a cold winter day and his feet were frozen, he wants to write a whole batch of his dogs, but he'll go buy some new boots. If you speak more. And sure enough, this is a song.
Right. Send it up.
Once somebody, a woman, not religious, from Ramadan, but she would buy business off from us because she wanted the best. Her husband was anti-religious and she was, shall we say, traditional, something like that. Mm-hmm. And she tried to keep a kosher home and father was always making trouble. But so one day, since the kids started getting sick, she brought in the business off. And one of the lines was in a bow shape. It's a big straight. But then curve down in it. And she bought, started to get new ones. And on the line was where we were about the esed v'sedecha, the greens in your fields, was the one that was bowl shaped. And we told her, no, put them back in place and find a way to have your husband not buy the greens, that you buy the vegetables. So her husband would come home, he would go through a shop, through a place store, just and no touch food at all, and buy a vegetable there. And she was trying for months to get him to not do that. He refused. So he said, listen. So we came up with a solution for her. You tell him, my dear husband, you're working hard, you want to go home and rest and eat, why should you want to go through the shopping? It's extra work for you, I have my mercy on you. I'll take care of it, you come home and rest for a while. And she would go to the ones with the best texture. Do that, a month later, bring out the business zone. The line straightened out by itself.
Amazing. It's pretty amazing.
And the kids stopped having the gut problems.
Oh, what?
Amazing, amazing.
Hi.
We're from the sham.
Yep. So,
once I went to the Beto with my business owner, and he looked at them and says, you have books of karate, hand warfare, that sort of thing somewhere. Get rid of them. Forgot they had them. Yeah, books when I was learning ninja and summer and Bushido and so on. And a box somewhere in the box. These are the business owner. Threw the books away. He said there was a little red spot in the hay. I said, sure. And that's what's also in the law today.
Unbelievable.
People can affect the business up. Not just the writer, but the people that actually get it can affect the business up. Both this and that.
Oi, I just see a clap.
It's for now.
Letters. Let's see anything else.
It's a victory too.
Yes, it's true. So when you go up to say the bracha on the Torah, don't lean. Stand straight. If you're leaning in, if you think you're leaning on, it's taken away. It's like you're sitting. Even a little bit of leaning isn't great, because if you're leaning a little bit, it's not like standing 100%. You have no choice, you can lean a little bit. The chazan who's reading also should not lean. When you go up, you should lane the what the chazan reads, the Shlach Tzibur reads, and the Bakor reads, lane with him. But, so that you shouldn't be audible. Before the Baruch, you say, Baruch Hashem Avarach, the answer Baruch Hashem Baruch Hashem. In Baghdad, they say Rabbanan, Maran, Rabbanan, whatever they say, different things. Rishut Rabotai, different Mahalchim. Right? Baruch Hashem Baruch. Hashem Asamah Teres Emes, that's Torah B'Chstav, written Torah, B'Chai, not the B'Sochein, it was Torah B'Chai, that's the oral Torah. Bishal, Aladim Lach. Yeah, here it is. He says, go up at least once a month. I say to himself. Anyone who goes into the Torah should go the quickest way. You shouldn't leave the shul and leave the Sefer Torah open. Even between person to person. If you have to, you can go out between person to person. Let's say a guy's a Kohen, who's a very special person, and he's in one shul listening to the Torah reading, and they come and say, we want you to go up to the next shul. He's allowed to leave because it's for another Sefer Torah. It's for the honor of the Torah. Especially if the Tzibur is waiting for him. That's how the Yishchai concludes. We spoke about this a little bit before, I think. Right? In the Sefer Torah, you have the letter and the crowns. The letter is the Mechina of the Abitagin and the Osus. The letter and the crown. That's what we have to work the hardest on. The letters is the malchus. That's just like speech, just like the potential. And the crowns is actualizing the potential. That's how it comes out. Actualize the potential. And the way we actualize the potential is doing what the crowns do. We're quiet. The quiet, Rebbe says, when you're in the face of embarrassment from others or from oneself, that's a big thing. Rav Avraham Nachman, someone's asked him why his garments don't look exactly tip-top. Why are you going with garments of great rabbis? He said, you know, the Rebbe says you're supposed to be a little embarrassed and be quiet. So that's a way of doing it. Sometimes it's building. It's a way of, you know, a person gets a stain or something. It's a good thing to think, you know. This is a way of getting that atonement of being quiet in the face of embarrassment. Especially if that's just from oneself. So that's the machine of the target, it's the crowns. That's Ma, Gematria Adam. Nachman says that the machine of the osios, the Malchus, the Pashit, that's the machine of Behema. You have to take the Dam and put an Aleph in the Dam. And it becomes Adam. Aleph in the Dam. That's by being quiet, Dome. Taking Dam, making it Dome. That's what the Rebbe says. That's part of what the Sefer Torah is, the vowels and the cantillation, the notes. That's the higher levels. We can't put that in because we're trying to draw that into our reality, but we don't have that here, and nothing broke there. We don't need to fix that. We just need to bring it in. That's how. That's a little bit about what we're doing. So you know, it's, we go to the Sefer Torah. We connect the higher levels of Bina and Chachma, Tshuva, fire for Hashem, and it's Bina and Serenity for Hashem, and nullifying oneself to Hashem. It's Chachma connected to the letters and the crowns and. It's a good thing to do at least once a month. Be there oneself. Okay. A person in the morning, within 12 months of his father, it helps an aliyah from maftir more than anything else. Especially if there's a korban of musaf or something like that, that helps even more.
Maftir, but don't you usually have to read afterward or something?
Haftorah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maftir is a big, big inyan if you can do it. On Rosh Chodesh, for example, there's a maftir. There's not. It's not so. But that's not true, is it? That's incorrect. Rosh Chodesh is not a maftir without Torah. Chanukah is though. Right? Chanukah, there are days, if it's Chanukah, with Rosh Chodesh probably according to how he's going, he's talking about Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh alone, there's no Haftorah, there's just, but it's Kavanah still, so maybe it will be his Bechin is Tikkun. When Chanukah is Rosh Chodesh, so then we read Chanukah, and we read Rosh Chodesh, it's also not called Maftir. Maftir L'Chayr is only presumably, usually it's when there's Haftorah, that's what it means, you're adding an Aliyah. But still, it could be that when there's Kavanah, it's more relevant. Also, an Aliyah with Kavanah might be a bit more relevant. But he's saying Maftir, especially because of Haftorah, I guess, that's a very big thing for an Nisham. That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's what he said. Apparently, the higher it's because of that. If Hanukkah is Rosh Chodesh, so then we lay, I guess we lay Rosh Chodesh first on the Tanakh that day. So it's not true either. That's Kabbalah. But the Maftir is Kabbalah. Because Tadr B'Shem Tadr, Tadr Kodr. Right? Usually the first is first.
Is there ever two Rosh Chodeshes in
Hanukkah? Yeah, there could be 2 days somehow. Sure. It says to be careful when a person has a yahrzeit, not to assume he knows the day, because sometimes you can't say, a person can say it's the fourth day of Hanukkah, the fifth day of Hanukkah, because it's a particular date. It depends when Rosh Chodesh is. If there's 2 years Rosh Chodesh, shifts things over. One day is Rosh Chodesh. Depends what the year was, and what that's what I was put in my love on the second year. Yeah, but
you need a calendar.
You gotta work it out. You can't do it. It's not like Purim. So Purim is Purim, except for a leap year or whatever day. Tu B'Shvat. You know what Tu B'Shvat is. This day of Hanukkah is not so simple. Depends which day, especially in later days after Chodesh, it's complicated. Okay, so yeah, there's no. I can't think of any other time.
Just in Shabbos.
What that Yom Tov? What Chol HaMoed?
Maftir usually means
They have a half Torah with it?
B'chol Ofen, he seems to be saying, Amafi, he's talking about Shabbos, that's the best time.
Pesach Amafi?
The best, Pesach Yom Tov for sure does.
What about Yom Kippur?
Yom Kippur, of course, has Amafi. Definitely has Amafi. Not only does Yom Kippur have Amafi, but Amafi Yonah, even Mincha has Amafi. Just interesting. I don't know whether it will have any effect whatsoever. This might be talking specifically about days when you say I'm up here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.